Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is KJ and Lyons. KJ Carson and John Lyons right now on WEEI.
I know this is game week, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you if you had any comment on...
Probably not, but I'll hear you out.
Bill Belichick banning your scouts from USC.
Oh, no, that's an individual choice, and we'll cross that bridge, when we start looking at players. I want to focus on our football team, and that's their prerogative, to make the decisions that they feel like are best for them, and then we'll have to find other ways to get the information for any players that we want to look at North Carolina.
Wait, that's to imply that Belichick has players that are NFL quality? Yeah, right. It's KJ Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937. John, let's just jump right into it. Belichick got embarrassed on television. That's going to happen. But is Belichick now really embarrassed? Like, I really have kind of held a flag for Belichick. Today is the time that I see that, okay, that flag isn't planted as strong as it once was, because this doesn't sound like a comment coming from you as much as a reactionary of, baby, don't let New England get the best of you. No matter what they say, don't let them get the best of you. Yeah, don't let them come down here. Like, you don't have players on that team that are even scoutable for the team that you're playing next week. What are we doing?
Yeah, there's a lot of layers to this, but I think the overriding thing is this is a stupid thing for him to do. It's not cool either. Like, it's detrimental to his team. Because think about it. If you're a high school recruit and you're choosing between, let's just say it's UNC and NC State, right? Two schools, rivals near each other, whatever. And one school is not going to allow certain scouts there and you want to go to the NFL, like, that's a strike against UNC. And KJ, I went back and I did some research on this, okay? According to the Patriots media guide that they release every year, five of their college scouts, including the Southeast area scout, have been with the Patriots since at least 2023. Same with the director of scouting and the assistant director of scouting. So he's banning guys that he hired.
Unless he believes that those same people are all part of his demise.
See, that's just unrealistic. Like, I understand if he is mad at the Crafts and he doesn't want the Crafts there and he never wants to talk to the Crafts again. I get that. I can understand that. But this, to me, hurts his own program more than it hurts the Patriots. And it's, to me, like, I just think, like, to bust the balls of a couple scouts that are probably making not that much money trying to build their career because you don't like Bob Kraft, like, that's not cool. Like, and you and I have talked about this at length. I think there's a segment of Patriots fans and especially local media that, because Bill was mean and the last 2 years weren't good, like, gleefully want him to fail. And I think that's gross. Like, I think that's just a total lack of respect and appreciation for all the success here. But that doesn't mean that he can just do stupid stuff like this and get away with it. Like, this is, like, what, like, why are, like, look at every other good college program. Do any of them do this?
Well, no, because look, yes.
Like, is Dabo Sweeney telling the Patriot scouts they can't go to Clemson?
Yeah, but, like, also Dabo Sweeney's not walking around with a 50-year younger girlfriend who is making their way into national interviews, whether it's just saying, we're not answering that question.
We're not talking about this.
Or even someone trying to purport video of her on the sidelines when you look closely, she's down at the sidelines when they're doing workout drills.
Not but that wasn't. About this.
Yeah, but the intention, I don't know if you saw the video clip that someone put out there. Some people joking, like, yeah, she's down there to ask if she could borrow 20 to go get some food, stuff like that. Like, you've walked yourself into this situation. This is one of those situations where you probably tell Jordan, I don't care if it's warm-ups. I don't care if it's anything else. You do not need to be on the field for anything at any time while any cameras are here. You do not need to be down
here.
It's
funny you bring that up because I was at the practice in April. You remember that viral clip of her going on the field and like adjusting his microphone or something?
Right.
Like, so I was at that practice, and while they were practicing, she was off in a corner talking to alumni and donors. Like, she wasn't involved. That clip was early and it was before, so it was a little misleading, honestly, the clip itself. But to your point, he should be smart enough to not put himself in that position. Like, he knows it's going to be a story. He knows a lot of people are going to care. He knows it's going to be twisted. And here's the thing, too, and you know how this works. If I'm a coach at Clemson or Duke or NC State, I'm going to send a recruit that video or reference it to them and be like, yeah, man, you see, like, how organized is it there at UNC? What's going on? Like, even though it's misleading, you know that happens. So, like, you're hurting yourself. Like, when he does stuff like this, it's hurting himself more. Like, again, if you don't want Bob Kraft to go to UNC, I get it. You don't want Jonathan Kraft or Robin Glazer or whoever.
But UNC can handle that. Exactly. It doesn't need to be you.
But, like, saying that, like, oh, I don't want their Southeast area scout or their national scout here, like, seriously? Like, real, like, that's what you're going to do? Like, again, I think that just hurts his own program more. And I respect pettiness as much as anyone. I love pettiness sometimes. But that, to me, is just kind of like, come on.
In the smallest of worlds, there is a really good friend of mine. We've known each other, 30-something years without giving my age. But her son is a star receiver who I thought was finishing, but he met with Belichick. He's going to go to Clemson, but I didn't realize he's also going back for his senior year. So this is a high recruit if you're committing to Clemson and you still have your senior year to play. But met with Belichick, and I talked with his mom briefly. And now there's a part of me that's feeling like, hey, where at one point I thought, if your son is really destined to get to the NFL, Belichick is someone he really should consider. But now it's like, with this stuff you've seen in just 1 week, you'd almost have to wonder, does he even care? Like, why? It goes to your point. If you're trying to make the case that Belichick can kind of create kind of this talent farm. And I'm not saying everybody's going to be these first rounders. It's not going to be Alabama. But if you could be the king of second day and early third day, right? Like, if you could be the king of that, a lot of second, third, fourth round guys that can add quality depth to your roster, you become a one-stop shop for the entire NFL. Because at this point, you're like, well, does he ban the Falcons Southeast scout next because he didn't like how the Falcons thing turned out? Like, the one place that Bill Belichick can't spit in the wind is back to the NFL. So if you sit there, you know what? Let the scout come and then remove the scout, because then you can change whatever the narrative may or may not be. You could say, hey, you know, the conversation started to get in an area that I just didn't feel like was, and you still win. But to announce it after you've just got drubbed on television 48-14 and it looks like, remember the Titans before Denzel becomes the head coach? You know, like, what are we doing, Belichick? What are you doing?
Interesting too is that, like, they haven't even really tried to deny this. Like, there was the report that somebody called Mike Lombardi and he just said good luck and hung up the phone. Like, they're proud that they're doing that. And it's just, to me, it's just, again, it's hurting him a lot more than it hurts the Patriots. Because if there's a player good enough for them to draft, they're going to get all his film anyway. They're going to meet with him at the combine. They're going to meet with him in the pre-draft process. It's not like banning them, they never get to see the player. Like, it's not 50 years ago where that could happen.
You know who this is coming off a lot like? Mark Wahlberg in Boogie Nights. Like, when, hey, at one point you were the guy in the game. You were the reason why they felt like they can go from film to videotape. Okay, I don't know if you've ever seen Boogie.
No, see, I think this is more like Johnny Drama when he's like, back of the game.
Yeah,
I am
right.
The game,
well,
pal.
Well, that's what does this not feel like when they all get in and are listening to Motor Red, where you've got four kind of guys where the game is kind of past them a little bit, and now they want to show that they can still do it. They can still get the young, attractive girls. They still have pull. And my thing is, hey, don't be a bunch of old men down there at Chapel Hill ruining that school and then ruining the NFL's whole thoughts of you. Because whatever you think, Like, do you think this speeds up Belichick's statue in front of Foxborough?
Yeah, and the other thing, too,
does it speed that up?
No. And UNC, by the way, did you notice that Kraft waited until Bill got smoked in his first game to smile and say, yeah, we'll build him a statue? Like, you think he says that?
Yeah, because you wait for the receipt to come out,
yeah,
right? Because
if UNC beats TCU, you think he comes out and says that? I don't know.
No, in fact, if anything, Kraft starts to, he starts probably wondering, like, our local television station's going to start showing North Carolina games on Saturdays, and now I got to compete with numbers. Like, are more people, like, imagine the notion was like more people were watching Belichick coaching North Carolina games in New England than they watched the Patriots game in New England. Like, that would be the embarrassment to Kraft. So after you get dropped 48-14, they're like, yeah, you've pretty much lost your mojo. Have you not?
Yeah. I know. I don't think that was a coincidence. That what, a couple days after Bill got smoked, all of a sudden, yeah, we'll build him a statue. No problem. And I think they may have eventually some years later, but the timing of that I don't think was a coincidence.
KJ and Lions on your Saturday, backed again after 6 or 8 months. I swear I didn't cheat on you, John. 617-779-7. You're so forgiving. My wife would be like, you just go have her, you know. But no, I'm kidding. Maybe I'm not. But look, we'll continue next. We'll talk more of what the football's, you know, look at the NFL schedule, some of the games for Sunday. And then we've got to address the Philly Karen who took the ball from the kid, or the kid, the husband coming. This is just one of those social science experiments that's going on. But right now, let's get some trending from John Lyons.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI, back together after about 6 or 7 months, but thankfully still here, because you probably would have guessed, like, I think KJ had been fired. I might be the one guy on the station that has died 3 or 4 times, but here we are.
So you have 5 lives left?
I've got 5 lives, maybe 5, yes. Probably 5. I have 5 lives. You know, like, let's see. First it started with late night, 10 p.m., then that was like, all right, we're not doing that anymore. And of course, we ran for the election, and we didn't win the election. That's perfectly fine. It was all kind of fun and games, right?
Stop the steal.
Right, exactly.
I'm just kidding. I won't make any more jokes.
What? That's funny. Look at Lyons there busting in. And then the Sunday show, which with football season.
Too much mail-in voting.
Yeah,
Now I will not make any more jokes.
How do you know I have mail coming in the van? You know,
pause.
So. Yeah. So, but yeah, we're back here, and look, the show is almost like that's what's kind of interesting, right? When you two guys get back together, haven't worked together in 6 or 8 months, and you're like, hey, you guys are gonna do a 4-hour show together. First, you know, shout out to Ken Laird for like trusting us to get things together. Like, he's not like, hey, you guys need to work this out in the basement first and then get back on the air, because I know it's been a long time. So there's a trust that's been established. I think they know that KJ is not going to burn. I'm not going to do anything crazy or stupid, like in Half Baked. I'm not going to do anything stupid or go off and go crazy. But, you know, like, it's gone by quick. It's really gone by quick. Usually when shows go by slow.
We only have a half hour left, man.
We only have a half hour left on a 4-hour show, and I haven't done 4 hours a show. Like, that would be like a month worth of shows for me. I'm sorry. It's true. But, no. I think that shows to the quality of what you've got going on at WEEI. I just call it what it is. Like, there's a confidence that I think that Ken can have where he says, you know, look, I can put KJ and Lyons together. Lyons can go disappear off and do Nessun. I can put KJ by himself at 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning, and people be like, hey, what is this show that's going on? So this is really good times for the station. I'm very happy for all that are involved. Am I kissing my own ass here, you know? Can one do that? Look, before we get out of here, not right now, but in 20 minutes, I'm going to prove to you just how wrong that father was getting that baseball to his son at that Phillies game. And I'll put it in a perspective that will make you rethink what everybody is saying socially. But the big thing for tomorrow's football. I don't know about you, John, but are you ready for just a day of vegetation in front of a television, watching the gridiron just absolutely go absolutely
berserk? Yeah, it
started
last Saturday, right? Remember Texas, Ohio State, and then you had LSU Clemson that night, but I'm excited for the first real Sunday of it.
I'm talking about the men who get paid real money for blood, sweat, and CTE. Ready? Cardinals, Saints. This is a game you might want to sleep through if you have to watch it. 6.5-point favorite, the Cardinals are. Do you see growth from Kyler Murray or just the same video game thumbs stinking it up as the season goes along?
So I think the Saints are going to be the worst team in the NFL this year, but I think they're going to win this game. It's going to be almost like the Patriots beating the Bengals last year in week one. I don't know. They're in New Orleans. I like Spencer Rattler. I think they're going to win this game.
You think this is the Saints who are begging to get Arch Manning to that team next year?
They're going to win two games all year. I just think this will be one of them.
Wow. All right. In a major showdown in the NFC South, maybe the second most important game in its division behind the replay of this game later in the season, the Buccaneers at the Falcons. Buccaneers, a 1-point favorite on the road. Can Baker Mayfield elevate himself into Eli Manning-type conversation status?
I think Baker Mayfield and the Bucs win this game. I think Atlanta has a nice little young core there, but Tampa's better. They're more experienced. I think they win this game.
In the kill me now, am I really going to watch this game? The Panthers and the Jaguars. Do you just turn the channel and say, hell no, there's no way I'm watching this game?
Yeah, the Jag Bowl. I'm going to go with the Jags here. I think they win this. Liam Cohen, first game with Trevor Lawrence. Maybe they get Carolina off balance a little. Carolina is still not that good.
Yes, because absolutely, why would you want to see that? Bengals versus Brown, Battle of Ohio, but have you seen how Ohio has looked over the last 30 years?
Yeah, I'm big on the Bengals in this one. I think the Browns also could be one of the worst teams in the
league. Can you believe it's only a 5.5-point spread?
I think that is all about how bad the Bengals have been to start seasons in recent years. Like, really, you line these two teams up, I think the Bengals are a lot better.
Dolphins-Colts. That's some throw-ups.
Yeah, I lean Miami because, remember, Miami's always good the first month of the year, and then they tail off, and the Colts have Daniel Jones, who kind of won a QB competition by default, so I go Dolphins. Yeah.
Daniel Jones is literally the guy that said, let me go find the worst quarterback that management won't get behind and go compete with.
Hey,
and
smart
go compete
move
for
by
them.
Him.
Yeah, it's almost kind of like, so it gives him at least another year to prove that he does suck. The Giants, Commanders. Commander 6.5-point favorite. The Giants, I just don't see really any momentum out of that team.
Yeah, I like Washington there. I think the Giants are going to be better than they were last year. You saw them show a little bit in that final preseason game against the Patriots. But yeah, Washington, I think, is a lot better than them.
All right, Steelers-Jets. This is kind of like a mini preview, if you will, for what the Patriots are going to see here in the coming weeks. And then the Jets, obviously, in division. It's really Aaron Rodgers kind of coming back to to the outhouse, never really a home. Jets are 3-point dog. What are you thinking?
Yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty in this game. How's Rodgers going to be? What's Aaron Glenn going to look like in his first game as a head coach? What's DK Metcalf going to look like, etc.? What's the Justin Fields going to look like? In a situation like that, I usually go with the more experienced, better head coach. I'm going with Mike Tomlin and the Steelers there.
Yeah, it'd be an interesting game to watch because I think we will know, are the Steelers ready right away or are the Jets really behind the eight ball? Like that, I think that you're really going to find out right there. Like, we might find out just how bad the Jets really are, and we might find out if the Steelers are ready to compete or at least try and be an upsetter. And then, of course, the final 1 p.m. game, the Patriots-Raiders, that is now down to a 2.5-point favorite for the Patriots. The over-under is 44 straight up. There's no hook. Patriots, money line, -150. It's a little more technicality. If I say that into layman terms, they believe that the Patriots, what they have on paper, should beat what the Raiders have. Even maybe it's come down that half point because there's no Christian Gonzalez. You think otherwise?
Yeah, I'm going to be there in the stands, so I really hope I'm wrong about this
prediction.
Why
flex that? Why?
Because to say this, I hope I'm wrong, but I think the Raiders are going to win.
Right. So, yeah. I
look at the Pete Carroll, Geno Smith thing. Like, it's a new coach and quarterback, but they're not new to each other, which is kind of a unique situation. I think Brock Bowers and Jacoby Myers without Gonzalez out there, one of them will have a good game. Ashton Jeanty, don't be surprised if he rips off one big run. And then the Raiders defensively. Like, they weren't a good defense last year. They lose Robert Spillane to the Patriots, but I could see Max Crosby having a sack or two, especially against some of the younger and newer pieces on the Pats offensive line. I just think if this game took place 2 months from now, I would pick the Patriots. But in week one, I lean the Raiders.
See, if I'm going to tell you that I believe this is a team that has to get the 10 wins to really be able to establish themselves as the mediocre days are done with the Patriots, they have to win this game. So I believe they're favored because you're thinking that Mike Vrabel's defense will be able to do more under what his command is than Pete Carroll's offense would be able to do. I think that's what it really comes down to. I do like the Patriots in that game, not to be a homer, but I think if the Patriots can't win this game, where do you see them now showing their teeth and being dominant? Unless they're in this game and they get beat on the last second field goal, then that's a different conversation, but you still lost. All right, in the 4 p.m. window, you might want to hold your nose for a couple of these. Titans-Broncos.
Yeah, I think the Broncos win this game easily. I think they're a playoff team. That might be the best defense in the NFL.
Yeah, 8.5-point spread, -450 on the money line, saying, like, not only do they expect the Titans to lose, but lose badly. 49ers-Seahawks. 1-point favorite for the 49ers. But, you know, the 49ers have such a weak schedule. They could really run the gamut because that NFC West, I think, is weak. And I think their opposite division is the AFC South.
I like the 49ers in this one. Yeah, I just think Seattle is, as we said before, just a jag.
The showdown, the Thursday afternoon game, the National Lions-Packers at the Packers. They say that Micah Parsons may get the shot and be ready to go. If you're getting $47 million a year, you're taking the shot, you're in the game. Right? There's no like you're going to sit this one out. I like the Packers at home in this game. They're a 2-point favorite.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, look, Detroit, it's been kind of under the radar. They lost both their offensive and defensive coordinators from last year. I still think they're going to be good, but it's going to take them a season or so to adjust to that. And I like Green Bay in week one here.
And then the 4 o'clock game that everybody sees except for the people in the town. I mean, the opposite of Ray. The game that everybody's not going to see. Texans-Rams. Rams are favored by 3. This is an interesting matchup because I think clearly the Texans are a playoff team, but the Rams, I think, can win this game if they're going to make a case of what they're going to be this season. It's going to go down as a quality victory if they can get it this early.
Yeah, I like the Rams here. I think this is a sneaky, really good matchup, and it'll get overshadowed by Detroit and Green Bay. But these are two potential playoff teams, two potential division winners. I just think if Stafford's healthy, I like the Rams in this game. I think Jared Verse could have a big game, too. Don't forget, that's a Houston team that traded away Laremy Tunsil this offseason.
Right. The Ravens-Bills are the Sunday night featured game. You'd almost have to say whoever wins this game, we're talking about potential tiebreaker in terms of the record and who's going to potentially have the number one seed. Bills are a 1-point dog at home against the Ravens. Where are you leaning?
Yeah, I'm going Ravens here. I think they're the best team in the AFC, and I think we see them show it in week one in Buffalo. And I think it's going to be a great game, but I think Baltimore, I think that Jair Alexander free agent signing, that's going to give them just enough to push them over the edge.
Yeah, I think with the Bills, I think behind Jared Cook now, they have a run game that people don't really talk about, but is high level. It's a high leverage run game. My question is, what's going on in between the ears of the fans and Josh Allen and that coaching staff, right? You feel like the nervousness, as soon as you put it on them, it then defines them. And with Lamar Jackson, who rushed for 900, think about it. Passed for 5,000, rushed for 900 last year. Like, that's crazy, and you still have Derrick Henry. I'm with you. How do you stop the run game of Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry? off the gate to start the season.
Right in week one coming at you.
I don't know how you do that. And we're now at the point where, gosh, the Monday night game is kind of like an anti-crescendo of the entire week. Vikings-Bears.
Yeah, I'm going to go Vikings here.
Yeah. So there's your opening week lineup. So I would say probably, John, the surprise that you have, according to the lines and what people think, the Raiders beating the Patriots.
Yeah, and like I said,
probably your biggest upset.
I hope I'm wrong. A lot of it comes down to Christian Gonzalez being out. And it's a unique situation, as I mentioned, with Pete Carroll and Geno Smith. Yes, they're both new there, but they've both worked together before. They've worked well together before. I mean, Geno Smith, again, only 9 picks in 2023, his last year with Pete Carroll. They went 9-8 that year together. I mean, Pete Carroll probably shouldn't have even gotten fired by Seattle if we're really looking back. So that's a unique thing. I think Ashton Jeanty, he could maybe be one of those really, you know, sometimes you'll have a good rookie that in the first month, it's like he's shot out of a cannon and has a great first month, and then teams adjust to him a little bit.
Once they get the film on him, yeah.
Right. I think he could maybe have a game like that. And then again, defensively, I mean, we're talking about a bad Raiders defense from last year.
Yeah.
But I just think with Max Crosby and Pete Carroll coaching, I think they'll be just good enough. I think this is going to be a close game, 24-20 type game. I think the Patriots will have the ball potentially with a chance to win and maybe just run out of time at the end or something like that.
You said 24-20. The line actually is 44 for that game. So literally, you're really calling the push number right there. I think, honestly, the Patriots are going to have to ball control. I think the score is going to be a little bit lower, maybe 17-10. And I think it's one of those where so here's the other thing. We almost forget Geno Smith kind of went off on the Patriots last year, right? You remember that, like, you know, the game where Debo, not Debo,
DK Metcalf had the 50-yard touchdown.
50-yard, because Debo Samuel
had another one, like, a few weeks later. And
right, exactly.
And what I'm wondering, too, and we haven't touched on this yet, but I think it's worth mentioning, the Patriots drafted another kicker, Andres Borgalis, third kicker they've drafted this decade. I didn't think he necessarily won the competition, but they gave him the starting job. Last year, the Patriots were 25th in field goal percentage, one of only 6 teams to miss multiple field goals inside 40 yards. What if this game comes down to a field goal or two? Like, is the rookie kicker going to break free from the bad kicking they've had the past 5 years and kick?
Here's why I think it's a bit different now. It's like, if you tell me it's 4th and 3 and either the Patriots can try and kick, say, a 58-yarder, or try and get the 3 yards. In the last 5 years, you'd say, man, you got to kick that. Now you're telling me, okay, I've got Drake May, who can do it with his legs. I've got Stephon Diggs out there. I've got Ramondre Stevenson, and I've got Travion Henderson. If none of those four guys can get me
through. Hunter Henry as well, by the way.
And Hunter Henry, but let's just say I'm going to target Hunter Henry based on what I've seen on film. Or go after Drake May in the run. If I don't have one of those four guys can't get me 3 yards, this is why I think you say, hey, we probably won't need a kicker that's going to be able to try and hit these 59-yarders. Vrabel's more likely to try and go for it if time allots for it. If we can get it to a high 40s kicked or a high leveraged 52-yard kick, then I think he goes for it. But if it's like, hey, we need a 58, 59, maybe even a 60-yarder, because now 65 is new record, so 60 is like the new 55. I think Vrabel's kind of like, I'd rather have an accurate kicker inside of 50 and always try and position ourselves to be within 50, 52 than to say, okay, we're in field goal range now. Like, no, the kicker's not designed that way. But there's more weapons that say, you can't get 3 yards right here.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point. And what I wonder is, remember how bad their end of first half execution was last year?
God,
like, what if they get into a situation tomorrow where it's 14-10 right before halftime, and they have a chance to kick a field goal to make it 14-13. Like, do they get in position, and do they kick the field goal, and is it good? Because, like, last year they failed so many times in those end-of-first-half situations. Can they even do something like that tomorrow? Because that could be the difference. Like, a kick like that, if they miss it, they lose, and if they make it, eventually they go on to win. Like, I could see something like that playing a big role as well.
So, here's a great perfect scenario, right? You get the ball to the 35. If you kick it right there, it's going to be from 52 yards out. So let's say you get to the 40. 40 plus another 10, so that'd be a 57-yard field goal, right? So if I'm Vrabel, I'm at the 40, I would say, if I've got another play left in us, try and get the closer yards. Don't run the person out just because it's 57 yards.
That is an option they didn't have last year.
Right. Yeah. So that's that's where I say, hey, we've got more playmakers this year that if we can run another play, and if we get more yardage, then fair enough. But if you're asking us to try and nail one from 62 yards out just to make it a one-point game at the half, ladies and gentlemen, we're still going to have to score again. So if we come back out of the first half and score a touchdown when we return, then, you know, trying to, you know, do something out of frame, you don't even have to worry about that. All right, KJ Lyons, we wrap up next here on WEEI's Saturday edition.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons, the cool down section of the show. Thank you so much if you've been here for 5 minutes or for all 3 hours and 55 minutes. We appreciate you being here. You can go back and rewind if you like. And of course, you can listen to WEEI anytime around the house. Tell your Alexa device, hey, Alexa, play Boston Sports Original WEEI. Brings you right here. We'll get to a couple of text messages, then we'll bring in Dan Ball. And we've got to solve just what I think is just an absolute travesty that's going on right now in social media society. John, what do you have?
So a couple texts came in here. You got this, going back to our Red Sox conversation earlier, mm-hmm. from the 978. You guys should mention Abreu. This guy, like, he has had a big impact, him being out. And I think that's fair, right? Like, yeah. Willie Abreu was their best power hitter once Devers left. Him being out has made a big difference.
I was leaning on Jared Duran is because he's been here. The organization decided to keep him. They know they're going to get into talks with him. Now is the time to make those talks beneficial and not have Jeremy Swayman part two all over again over someone who's not happy about the money they got. They lose an arbitration, they stay, and then, you know, just call it what it is. Duran's a guy who wears his emotions on his sleeve, but it's like, okay, well, you know, the bat is attached to the arm that's attached to that sleeve. So now is the time to really show your true, true ultimate value while Roman Anthony is out and you can get your top of the order spot back again.
508 text going back to our UNC Belichick banning scouts discussion. And it's an interesting point. I think Bill is going to be surprised by how little his name means if he doesn't have cordial ties to the NFL anymore.
Yep.
And I think we kind of touched on that, but I think that's, you know, this could end up hurting the UNC program more than it hurts the Patriots.
Yeah, but you know, when you're the girlfriend who, you know, the they say the best way to get over somebody is to get under another person. Like, North Carolina kind of represents the other person that Bill has now gotten on top or whatever. And, you know, like, North Carolina is still going to be there, but at the same time, when Bill, I think now it may be more on fire, right? Because, you know what, there's only two big stories that still to remain at North Carolina. Well, really three. Did Bill end up turning it around? Did Bill end up getting married to the girl, or did the girl leave Bill, or did they split? Two of the three have nothing to do with football.
We're not talking about this.
Right. So, right. Exactly. So it doesn't, like, Bill had to win that first game where to show himself to be highly competitive. I jokingly joked when I was watching the game, I jokingly wrote, put Brady in the game. And then they end up putting Max Johnson in the game. And in the smallest of worlds, I had a cousin, Brian Johnson. He passed away. Brian is from Asheville. Max Johnson's father, Brad Johnson, was the quarterback for the team that my cousin played for in high school. Sam Gash, who played in the league, went to Penn State. They were all on the same football team together. So now it's like Brad Johnson, who I've known since I was a kid because we were all relatively same age. His kid is now playing for Belichick and may be the mini Brady in that story because whoever had – like, what was Bill evaluating – to be the starting quarterback?
It's funny you say that because that I thought originally they were going to go with Johnson, and then I know Lopez was a transfer, but I was like, all right, lefty quarterback, which is not the end of the world, but Bill hasn't really worked with one. I'm like, He's more of a mobile guy, but I don't know. And like, I'm not trying to disparage a guy who got hurt the other day, but like, I don't think Gio Lopez is that good. Like, I don't. No. I thought they were going to go with Johnson.
No, he was that bad.
Yeah, I thought originally in training camp they were going to, and who knows, maybe they'll stick with him going forward. But I was a little surprised that wasn't their initial choice.
All right, we got 2 minutes to decide this. Here's a portion of the clip of the Karen with the Philly jersey in Miami taking the ball away from the kid. Bye. Best way for it to end. All right, Dan Ball coming in next. We got about a minute and a half. Who was in the wrong, the father or the one that everybody's now calling Philly Karen?
I mean, I'm always inclined to side that Karen did something wrong. It just
her track record.
I don't know if that's a sentence that upsets people in the greater Boston area, but
her
can
real
I just,
name is Carol, though.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. But can I just say that seeing KJ and Lyons staring lovingly at each other in the studio made my day today when I walked in. It's nice
really?
To see you guys.
Well, it's nice to see you too, bud.
Pause.
Yeah, please do. John, your thoughts?
Yeah. So look, if he ripped it out of her hand, that's not cool. Otherwise, yeah. though, if it was just on the ground and she touched it, he got it. I'm totally with the dad here. In fact, I wouldn't have blamed the dad if he refused to give it back. Like, I can understand he didn't want to get in a fight with her in front of his kid and all that. That's fine.
Or because it's a woman, you don't want to physically
right,
fight a woman.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, but I would have been okay if he just stood there and said, no. Like, my kid has this. It's a great moment for him. Like, too bad for you. I don't know. I thought this lady going after him like that when she can clearly see, like, he gave it to a kid. Like, I thought that was way out of line.
Wait, you're surprised that she was emotional? I'm sorry. Now, Brian Frazoco, your thoughts, and then I'll give my thoughts.
I'm here. I'm kind of with Dan on this one. It's sort of hard not to side with the guy here. I heard you guys talking about it a little bit before I came when Ken Laird was still producing for you. He did run across, you know, a couple sections.
Yeah. Well, that's why I say, like, if he ripped it, if she had it in her hand
right.
and ripped it up,
but
that's
again,
not
he
cool,
sort of just got it.
It didn't look like that.
If you get it, then it's yours.
We did hear the audio where she said, "You took it out of my hands." So she's claiming it was in her hands, and that's one thing. And the other part is, let's put that in perspective here for scale. So let's say he's sitting in the section, let's say he's sitting in the monster seats, and he's in the seats between the two light towers. Let's say he's in the very one to the light tower closest to center field and comes across three sections to come snatch the ball. Is he in the wrong?
I think that's where it depends if someone has it already. Like, if she had it in her hand.
If he comes across three sections of monster seats.
You're being unfair.
It's a snatch.
Not a good comparison.
Why is that not a comparison?
Because if she didn't have it in her hand, then so what if he went over?
If a guy did the same thing in the monster seats and came from the light tower neck right above center field, comes across three sections, gets the ball, and walks back three sections, you don't tell me his ass is not tossed out onto the field?
Not if no one had the ball. No,
that dude is laying in center field, and they're going to commercial. Dead man in the triangle. We'll be back, OB. It's not funny because it's like that's the thing. You all have to put this stuff in perspective. He's doing it. It doesn't look like he's far, but if he went that distance at Fenway to snatch a ball from a woman and then go back and then use the kid as a cover, that's weak sauce right there. All right, when are we back together again, John? In 2 weeks?
I think we are back together again sometime around St. Patrick's Day.
No, it's the 20th. John and I will be back in 2 weeks on this 20th. So thank you so much for hanging out with KJ and Lyons. It's been a while. It went fast. And thank you so much. Enjoy Dan Ball next. And don't forget, Red Sox trying to salvage the series against Arizona. Have a good one. See you.
WEEI, New England Sports Original.
You found the love of your life. Now it's time for the diamond. I'm Eddie.
I'm Lily.
And I'm Zoe from Springer's Jewelers. And diamonds have been our family's passion for over a century.
Remember, you can't buy a better quality diamond at a lower price anywhere in New England. That's Springer's Diamond Guarantee.
Book your personal appointment online right now at springersjewelers.com.
Springer's Jewelers in tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go, but I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there, providing hot meals, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding.
To learn more, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
Do you spend half your day walking or standing while working? If you have foot, knee, or low back pain, the Good Feet store wants to help you like we helped Tony.
Pain that I experience the most is foot pain from being on my feet all day. You're having to kind of talk to yourself through the whole shift, like, I got this, I can do this. Before, I felt defeated, and now it's like, all right, let's go, I'm ready. A whole new life, like sunshine coming on.
And here's Dennis.
Working at an amusement park, it's always on your feet. I just couldn't take it. I just couldn't believe that putting these arch supports in made that much of a difference that quickly. Good Feet just took that pain away, and I could do my job, and I could take care of my family. I know what my tomorrow's going to be. It's going to be positive, and it's going to be pain-free.
You deserve a better life, too. Stop into the Good Feet store today. We have 10 locations throughout Boston and southern New Hampshire to serve you.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.